Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, good morning, Next Level Church. How y'all doing this morning? Wow, that was awesome. Y'all are actually awake. The coffee is kicking in. That warms my heart. Now, I'm obviously not Rob. I'm not as good looking as Rob Shepherd, but one day I aspire to be as attractive as him. My name is Jacob. I'm one of your pastors here at Next Level, and it is an honor and a joy to be able to spend some time with you this morning. Before we get started, let's bow and pray together just really quick. I know that we just did this a minute ago, but what I want you to do is I want you to pray for the things in your life that may be hard this morning. I don't know what that is. I don't know what God is speaking to you about, but just pray something like, Lord, help me with the problems in my life. Lord, speak to me this morning. We just sang about, here's my heart, here's my life. Speak, God. Jesus, we are here for you, only for you. We pray that you will take our lives, take our hearts, that you will speak truth into them. Lord, move me out of the way. Let it be you that is up here speaking, God. We love you, Jesus, and it's your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, good morning once again. If you were following along with the YouVersion app, that's what we use here on Sunday mornings, using the live section. So that's the way that I read my Bible every morning, is through the plan section. So if you'll go ahead and open up the app if you've already downloaded it. If not, go ahead and download it. Move over to the live section and search for Next Level 757 and track along with us. Now, we are in a new series called Wisdom. Cute little stick figures. How to stop making dumb decisions. We were thinking about this title. We were talking about this, and this video came to my mind. It's a video of the mascot from my alma mater, Liberty University, and I just can't even use words. Just watch. It's something else.
Today, it will be Patrick Bankemper. We saw Pat pitch in game one here against Penn State, and pitched pretty well as well. He went one inning scoreless, faced three back.
All right, so really quick, before we move forward, before we see what happens, what do y'all think Sparky, our friend Sparky, is going to do? Going to fall? I've got some falling. I've got some other ones that, Stephen, you really shouldn't be saying that in church. We're going to have to talk after. But let's keep watching. Oh!
15 pitches the first time around. So
oh, that just hurts. That's not fun. Well, here's the thing. We knew what was going to happen before that happened. And the cool thing about this video is it's not just some Liberty University posted video or some fan got it. This made it back in last year on the not top 10 on a little show called SportsCenter. For a good 4 or 5 weeks. So it's gotten some national airplay. But the thing is, we knew what was going to happen. We knew Sparky was going to do something dumb before he even did it. Wouldn't it be great if we knew our decisions were dumb before we did them? Do y'all think it would be great that way? Did you notice how easy it was to see that decision was dumb? Do you notice how easy it is to see in other people's lives, your friends, your family, your coworkers, how their decisions are dumb, but we can't see them in our lives? The thing is, we're wired to see other people's dumb decisions, but we aren't wired to see our own. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had that same insight in our life? Two people think that's awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome if we saw that, had that sort of insight in our life? Like, wouldn't it be great if before we got into that bad relationship, we knew that it was a dumb decision and we knew that it would cost us heartache? Somebody out there is listening. Amen. I hear you. Or if before we bought that new computer, we knew that it would put us further in the debt. I know that'd be awesome for me. Or even if before we accepted that new career position, we knew whether or not it would be a smart move. Not if it would be a dumb decision or a good decision or not, but just if it would benefit us in the long run. Now, today we're talking about wisdom, and before we jump in head first and start unpacking this idea, we need to figure out what wisdom is. Now, here's what I would define wisdom as. Wisdom is applying learning who we are in comparison to who God is. It's skill in the art of godly living. And here's the thing, wisdom isn't just about being smart, having book smart. Walker Percy says this, one can get straight A's in school and flunk life. You could have more degrees than a thermometer, but you can still fail at life. Now, so where does wisdom start? We're going to be hanging out, most of our time today will be in the book of Proverbs. And what the book of Proverbs is a guy named Solomon and a couple other guys, but mainly Solomon, had ideas and thoughts and messages that they wanted to send to their kids and say, hey, don't do something stupid. Here's some ideas, and here's how you should do this right, do this life right. And wisdom starts, this is what I found in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Fearing the Lord is where wisdom starts, and it's wanting to honor God with your life. Now, here's the thing. The word that probably stuck out to you like it did to me when I first read this verse is fear. And usually when you hear the word fear, it's associated with I'm afraid, I'm scared. Like, I'm afraid of the boogeyman at night, so I leave the door cracked so the light comes in, kind of fear. But that's not it at all. It's actually about respect and honoring and wanting to walk in the ways that that someone else did because of the fact that they did it right. Now, I can't speak about your relationship with your dad. I don't know if you've had one with him or I don't know, but when my dad was still alive, this is what the deal was. He was a very just, a very heavy-handed man and didn't take any junk whatsoever. So me being me, he had to deal with a lot of junk. So I knew that when I messed up, I was in trouble. There was no getting around it. But the thing is, I knew why he was going to discipline me. It's because he loved me. And the thing is, I respected him more because of that. And not only did he discipline me, but at the end of the day, when all was said and done, he wasn't turning his back on me and saying, hey, you messed up, go to bed, get out of here. He was saying, hey, I love you, good night. So that's sort of the picture that we have with God, of fearing the Lord. We respect him, we honor him, we want to follow in his ways. Now, if you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, if you've never said, hey, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I want to walk in the ways that you walked. I want to turn from the old life, the crap that I used to do, and I want to follow you for the rest of my days. If you've never done that, that's where you need to start. That's where we need to start right now, because you cannot fear God. You can't fear someone unless you know them and respect you. That's where it starts, having a relationship with him. Now, notice it said it's just a starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you're a Christian in the room, you know that dumb decisions don't stop after you meet Jesus. Am I right? You know that you still mess up and do dumb things on the regular. I'm not exempt from this whatsoever. I do really dumb things often, and there's a lot of times people have to say, Jacob, why are you such an idiot? And this is one of those times. I've been a Christian for a while, but that doesn't mean I always make wise choices. My best friend Jake called me out on it once, and here's my best friend Jake. He was my camp counselor when I was in fourth grade, and that was about 10 years ago. I know I'm really young. But yeah, so he and I, he's like my older brother. He keeps me in check, slaps me around. So one of the dumbest decisions I've ever made, and when you make a dumb decision, you immediately say, why did I do that? And I said this after all was said and done. I had just graduated high school. I was about to go away to college, and I started dating a girl right before I shipped out. Now, when I say right before, I mean like 2 weeks before. The situation was, hey, you're cute. Hey, you're cute too. Let's date. Okay, I don't really know you. We can figure that out later. word of wisdom, don't ever do that. I don't know what stage of life you're in, but don't do that. Get to know them, because this happens. I didn't listen to him and end up hurting myself in the long run, but that night when Jake came to me and said, he said something so wise and so right that I had to write it down as soon as he said it. So instead of butchering it, I'm just going to read it. Bro, you need to take time to be the man of God that he has called you to be before you try to pursue another relationship. College isn't for the faint of heart, and having a relationship built solely around long distance and looks is way too hard amidst all the change that will be happening in your life. Now, Jake didn't just say this willy-nilly because he'd seen it in other people's lives, not because it was one of those things that you just know. He had done it. He was in that right then. He was in a long-distance relationship, and he was at Liberty and dating a girl from Penn State. So he knew. He had the wisdom and the experience to be able to say, hey, don't do that. But I didn't listen to him. And I went ahead and started dating this girl. We dated for a year, and after a year of trouble and hardship, we ended up breaking up. And the thing is, Jake didn't say, well, you screwed up, so deuces, yo. He said, okay, let's recover. What went wrong? Why did it go wrong? What can you do to keep it from happening again? And because of that, because of him helping me, one, I wouldn't be here to this day. I probably wouldn't be the same person. And two, I now know what's a good choice, what's a bad choice. I know better about that. Here's a great example in my life of friends coming alongside and saying, hey, don't be dumb. Make some wise choices. But that's not the only place that we find this. More importantly, find it in the Word of God, in Proverbs. In Proverbs 13:20 is where we're going to be hanging out today. This is our main verse. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. This first part highlights wisdom, and that's where our main point is. This is where we're going to be camping out. This is what everything we talk about will revolve around. If you want to gain wisdom, walk with wise people. If you want to gain wisdom, walk with people who know what they're doing, who are wise. It echoes the meaning behind Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. When you hang out with people who are doing things well, doing things better than you, making wise choices, if you're humble, if you say, hey, I'm not the biggest deal in the world, you could help me. It pushes you to do things like him. Now, it's like positive peer pressure. And recently, my friend Rob called me out on my physical activity or, you know, lack thereof. So I got a Fitbit. I don't know how, by a show of hands, how many of y'all have a Fitbit and love it. Okay, so three people. And those three people are who I'm about to talk about. So cool. Thank you. Now, I really wouldn't normally go out of my way to do any running or walking or anything outside of maybe playing guitar or texting. So the thing is, I don't run unless I'm being chased. And you've got to catch me on a good day to be able to get me to run from whoever's chasing me. The last time I actually purposefully ran was in mid-December. Not because I wanted to, not because I thought it would be good for me, but because someone dared me to, and a girl said, hey, if you do it, I'll do it. So, what did I do? I ran a 5K, but I said, I'm just going to show up and not do anything. Well, we get there, and she says, hey, I'll run it if you run it. I didn't train, didn't do any preparation for it. So, by mile 3.0, on the last tenth of a mile, huffing and puffing, it was really bad. I'm really glad that y'all didn't have to see that. It was scary. So Rob and I, along with our friends Scott Hunt and Tyler Domino, entered into what we call the Work Week Challenge. We all have Fitbits. We all wanted to kind of test each other and see how each other could hold up. Now, before I go any further, let me give you this free piece of advice. Never, ever, ever, one, enter into a challenge without figuring out the physical activity of your friends who you're going into, and number two, never enter into this challenge with a firefighter who runs 5 miles a day to, quote-unquote, as he says it, keep himself alive. Because here's the thing, we didn't realize that Tyler ran 5 miles a day before this whole thing started. So on day two, as we're running the Nolan Trail, he said, oh yeah, I've already done a 5 mile run today, just like I do every single other day. We weren't happy. So we were smoked by Tyler. He had, I think I checked, it was 85,000, and I was next with a meager 65,000, and we keep on going down the line. So we got smoked. Needless to say, I'm a man, I can admit defeat. Not happy about it, but I admit defeat. So there was obviously a reason why I ran 2 miles on Tuesday, 2 miles on Thursday, and when I came in Wednesday, Rob said, hey, I just finished walking 5 miles. I got up at 6 a.m. to do it. Why do we do that? Because we were in a competition, and as a dude, I don't want to lose. So we were in this competition, and it was a form of positive peer pressure because we were working towards a positive, beneficial goal as brothers in community, helping each other, keeping each other accountable. We were taking positive steps, both literally and figuratively. I get those two words mixed up. To grow. Or if you want to look at it differently, shrink. You know, we're losing, shedding pounds as we step. So here's the thing. Something that AA and Weight Watchers, other support groups like that, they have this idea down. Life change happens by being in community with others. That's why that's such a huge deal for us here at Next Level. It's one of our core values. You can't do life alone. Our friend Chris Songson always tells us as a staff, amateurs learn by mistakes, and professionals learn by coaching. Community learns from one another. They tell each other, hey, I did this way. It wasn't the best way. I wish I would have done it this way. And then you come to that situation that you were just told about, and you know what to do because you were coached. Now let's look back at Proverbs 13:20. We looked at the first half, which says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What does the companion of fools do? What happens to him? One person is listening. What happens to the companion of fools? Yes, exactly. So we looked at how walking with wise people helps us become wise, but that's not where the verse ends. And it's not saying a companion of fools will become a fool. It's saying that they suffer harm. When you're hanging out with foolish people, there's always some form of pressure to go in the wrong direction one step further. I don't know what that is in your life. Maybe it's someone saying, oh, I can just have one more drink. That's okay. Or maybe, oh, you can smoke that last cigarette. You're almost done with the pack. Just go ahead. Smoke it. You're good. Or maybe even, hey, it's okay if you hang out on that website late night just a little bit longer. It's not going to mess up how you view other people. It's not going to mess up your thought processes. You'll be good. I don't know what that translates to in your life, but when you're hanging around bad people who are fools, that kind of situation happens. Well, it wouldn't be an illustration if I hadn't done something dumb and hung out with fools. So, sorry, Mom, you haven't heard this story before. I just realized that this week. So, when I was in seventh grade, I used to go to the skate park called Mike's Surf Shop over by the Coliseum Chick-fil-A. My mom's giving me the eyes. This is not good. And I, pretty much every single waking moment outside of school or church, I was there, literally from 3 o'clock until about 9 o'clock at night when they would kick me out and make me call my mom to come and get me, I was there. Well, there was a bunch of kids that used to come and hang out, and I thought they were the coolest thing since sliced bread. Y'all, they looked cool. They looked the part. They were good. So I said, hey, I want to hang around them. I want to be friends with them. And over the course of time, we started to become friends. They started to accept me and welcome me into their group. Well, one day they said, hey, we're going to go skate out back behind Panera and behind the other shopping center stores back there. So I said, okay, let's go. Well, the thing is, I didn't realize they were doing drugs back there. And see, this is why I said, sorry, Mom, you didn't know this. This is not good. Guys, pray for me. She's going to kill me. So we were back there, and they said, hey, here's this joint, smoke it. I said, okay, why not? Well, it was the wrong place at the wrong time because we apparently were making too much noise, and the storefronts decided that they didn't like that, so they called the cops on us. And we were back there hanging out, and we saw this cop car pull up. Cop gets out. We scatter. We go running in 15 different directions, and I ran behind Farm Fresh. You run back behind the shopping center. That's where Farm Fresh is, and I jumped into a dumpster. That's not even the funny part. The thing is, it was the day before trash pickup. So all of Farm Fresh's old soup from the salad bar, anything that they needed to throw out, they had thrown in this dumpster. So I jump into a full dumpster. My shoe snags one of the bags. It was the wrong bag because it was the soup bag. So I'm standing in about ankle deep filth. I don't even know what to call it. I didn't want to figure out what I was standing in because I probably would have passed out, thrown up. Well, I don't know. So I'm standing in there for about an hour and hey, I had to be careful. I didn't want to get caught because I really was scared for my life at that point. So I hopped out and I start to walk and I hear, and I'm like, well, these shoes are gone. So I throw them into the dumpster, and I walk back into Mike's, and the owner says, Jacob, where are your shoes? And I said, don't ask. Can I call my mom to pick me up? So, yes, Mom, that's why my shoes were thrown away that one time. That's why they didn't make it home. So here's the thing. I never would have done drugs. I never would have done anything stupid like that if I wasn't hanging out with those people. Because I looked up to those guys and thought, they were cool because they accepted me. I did whatever they told me to. And truth be told, I can guarantee you that because I looked up to these guys so much that if they said, hey, let's go out back and do a Bible study, I would have been right there reading John 3:16 with them. So who you hang out with, who you associate with, is who you become. That instance is what happens when we walk with fools. We suffer harm. And the thing is, just like we talked a few minutes ago, if you walk with the wise, you become wise. You become better. We need encouragement in moments of failing, in moments of times when we suffer temptation. We need someone saying, hey, don't do that. Chill. That's not wise. But here's the thing. For some of you, you don't have this in your life. This is really hard because you hang out with fools. Most of your friends are fools. There are people who are keeping you from following Jesus with all you are. It says this in Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. We've talked about how to get wisdom. It starts with a relationship with Jesus, fearing the Lord, and then being around wise people. Just like it says in 4:7, wisdom is going to cost you something. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to say, hey, I'm not as cool as I think I am. Will you help me? One thing that I've always been told is everything costs something. You can either pay now or pay later. But if you pay later, you'll always pay more. And this is how this has played out. It stinks to be on a diet. No one really likes being on a diet. And if you do, I'm so sorry. I'll pray for you because I cannot live without the blessed meat called bacon. And most diets that I've seen, you can't have bacon. It's not good. So, it stinks to be on a diet, but the thing is, the cost you pay now of not having bacon and going on this diet and working out, it'll cost so much less than if you pay when your health is terrible, when you're overweight and you have medical issues, which translates to debt. Now, it stinks to be in debt, but the thing is, if you take care of it now, instead of buying that new computer we talked about earlier, you won't incur lots of interest. You won't have to pay a lot But if you go ahead and buy that new computer, you're going to literally have to pay more later. Your wallet is not going to like you. Your checking account is not going to like you because you won't have money. Now, it stinks to be single. Trust me, I know. I'm there. But that cost that you pay now by taking time to work on yourself, to say, God, I want to identify solely with you. You are my sole source of identification. I am nothing without you. No matter what girl or what guy comes into my life, I have you and that's all I need. If you're not taking time to say that, then you're jumping into relationships. I think that's how it works. And when you jump into relationships without working on yourself, at the end you will pay more by having to deal with more problems. You'll have to deal with more hurt and more pain than if you would have taken care of it beforehand. Like I said, it takes a little bit of work, but it's so worth it. Think back to Sparky a few minutes ago and his tightrope act. Gosh, that still hurts. Wouldn't you rather not walk on the fence post and be smart instead of walk that line without caution and get hurt and fall and... Now, here's the thing. You're going to have to humble yourself. I can't say that enough. You are going to have to say, I am not the biggest deal in the world, and seek out someone who will help you by saying, hey, you're a little bit smarter than me. Will you help me? Here's how we can apply this a little bit better. We have groups here at Next Level, and the next semester starts in June. I know that seems like it's a far ways away. I just was talking to someone about June, and they said, oh, that seems so far away. But it's the best thing you could ever do. And the reason why I'm so adamant about that, about doing what you can to join a group, that's our first application. The reason I'm so adamant about it is because it's one of the best things I've ever done. I may have made some dumb decisions along the way, but this is one of the best ones because I've met some of my best friends, I've reconnected with some old ones, and I've strengthened already existing relationships. Not only does it help build relationships, but it helps you learn from one another because that's you saying, hey, I've got this problem. Can someone else help me with this? You're seeking help from other people, and not only are you seeking help, but you're able to give help in situations that you've been through, that you've dealt with, but now can say, hey, I did this. I wish I'd have done this. If I'm ever in this situation again, I would do X, Y, and Z, and you're helping someone out. Second application is finding someone in the church, sitting right next to you, sitting across the room, maybe in the first service, I don't know. Finding someone here who you think is wise and starting to spend more time with them. Ask him or her questions about his or her life. Ask him what you would have liked to have known 5 years ago that you know now. Questions like that, figuring out why they did what they did and how they got to where they are. And finally, figure out what areas of your life are foolish. Maybe it's time, maybe it's money, maybe it's with relationships, maybe it's with decision making, whatever it is. Find someone who knows what they're doing in those areas and let them pour into you. I know it sounds difficult. It sounded difficult to me when I first heard this. I know it's tough. But from experience, so much better, it's so much smarter to walk in wisdom than to walk in foolishness. So let's pray. Lord, you're good. Thank you for wisdom, for allowing us to have a little bit of a glimpse of it. Lord, for allowing us to be able to gain it through seeking you. Jesus, I pray as we leave out of here that, Lord, we will apply what we learned today about walking with wise people to get wisdom. Jesus, we love you. Let our worship right now be a response to who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net. Or find us on Facebook or Twitter.